This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? They're the thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports. Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanek with Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy!
What's up?
Ready for the madness.
Good, happy Tuesday.
Happy opening day.
Yeah.
Happy opening day.
Did
of
you
the
see
tournament
any of, it?
Of the season? No, I didn't wake up at 3 in the morning, for God's sakes.
Well, you didn't have to wake up at 3.
Well,
I was up at...
The game was at 3.
Yes, I was up at... I was actually up at 4. I don't know why.
Oh, my God. Are you 1,000 years old?
I couldn't sleep.
You go to bed at like 8:30. Dusty already made fun of you because you have the old man icons on your computer. And now you're waking up at 4:30 randomly. And
well,
we're like,
it was 4.
I'm up.
4, not 4:30. And it's not normal. I just couldn't sleep.
Yeah.
But I got up, and then I forgot the game was on. And by the time I caught it, it was in the 7th inning.
So what did you do from 4 a.m. until whenever?
Oh, I got coffee. And then,
because that's what you do when you can't sleep.
At 4, you went and got coffee.
Yeah, well, I was up. I'm not going back to sleep.
Okay.
So if you wake up at 4,
yeah,
or 3, or whenever, you know, we've all gone through this. Where
sure.
When you wake up, you're like, whoa, it's way too early.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times you just roll back over.
Yeah that's the only thing I do.
Yeah.
I don't. There's well, no. I'm up for good.
This instance, I was just up. I don't know why. Mm. I just couldn't go back to sleep, so I just like, you know what, let's go get some coffee, get our day started. Mm-hmm. So then I ran 5 miles. I went and lifted massive quantities of weights.
I heard that about you.
Got in the squat rack today?
Yeah. Got in the squat rack today.
You're working on that Dan Lanning twitchy squat, are you?
And then I went out and did some gardening, and then I took the dog on a walk. And then I had another coffee.
That's a full day.
And then I sat down and I watched Dodgers, Cubs, and let me tell you, it was really boring.
Hmm.
But the Dodgers won.
Yes. Yeah, it was 3-1, 4-1?
4-1.
4-1.
And I saw one run. So it was already 3-1 when I sat down. And then I saw...
I didn't see a single play, but I wrote about it for the Sports Snort. And
yeah.
The Dodger bullpen didn't allow a base runner. So that's pretty good.
Yeah. Wait. They didn't?
No, they had 4 guys each pitch one perfect inning.
Will the Dodgers lose ever?
I'm guessing they're going to win a lot of games.
They're really good.
Yes.
And Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts didn't even play.
No. Mookie Betts. He was sick. What happened with Freddie Freeman? Where is he getting new teeth?
No, he had a back injury or something. He said he's going to try to play tomorrow.
Well,
he's old.
Yeah. Downsized his teeth.
Wow, those things are massive.
I know.
It's the first thing I know that was probably unfair of me, but the first thing I thought of when I think of Freddie Freeman, I just think of those teeth.
Got to LA and bam.
Yeah.
I do have a couple of opening day game thoughts if we want to do that here, yeah. Since you guys didn't watch.
Now, someone is asking, does Rob put on the robe at 4 a.m.?
No, I don't have a robe.
I'm just wondering if you were a robe guy.
Are you out of your mind?
I'd like to be a robe guy, but I've never been a robe
guy. See, I can picture you up old man in it at 4 in the morning wearing a robe.
No.
I'm fascinated that at 4, like, Buckley, I'm guessing you're like me. There's a line of demarcation to where, like, if I wake up and it's 6:15 to 6:30, there's a chance, and I don't have to be up, you know, there's nothing to be up for. There's a chance at that point maybe I get up and start my day. But I'll tell you what, I draw a line about 5:15, 5:30.
No, I'm not conceding defeat to myself that like, you know what, I'm probably just not going to be. No, I am just going to stay in bed until a set time, even if it means I'm sitting there with my own thoughts.
Exactly. I will wake up at 4:30 and have to pee. I will hold that pee for 6 more hours and then pee for like 37 minutes when I wake up. I am not getting out of that bed. For really any reason other than maybe like a dog emergency. Because sometimes if my dog wants me to be up, he'll just stand on me. And when that thing stands on you, you get up. You're like, all right, buddy. But even that, I'll go downstairs, let him out. And guess what? I'm right back in bed. It's a matter of principle. Not old man Rob there.
Yeah, and
he enjoys the solitude.
I have enough mornings that do get interrupted with two little kids about that time. So if I happen to wake up and the rest of the house is quiet, I am capitalizing on that by going right back down, or at least trying to just stay there.
Have you ever? I'm wondering, as a parent, did you ever do this? Because I was guilty. I was the parent that got woken up with what have you. So I'm not going to lie. There were times where a kid woke up. Maybe there was a bed accident. You know, maybe there was some sort of, stuff happens. Maybe the bed was peed. Maybe there was an accident on the floor. I have done I'm going to wash you up real quick, dump you in our bed or dump you on the couch, and I'll deal with the mess 4 hours from now when I wake up.
Oh, yeah. That's for sure a thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like that bed isn't going to get unpeed in the next hour.
No,
or two.
We'll like strip the sheets and like, and you know, just throw them out, like there wad them up and throw them in the corner. But there like, you don't need to do the whole hotel staff changeover when you're at 4 in the morning.
No. It's like a triage sort of situation. You make sure that the kid is clean.
Clean and safe.
Yeah.
And then
clean and safe. And after that, it's like, all right, shut up, go back to bed. And we'll deal with this in the morning and we're fine. Just quiet.
She called me. I'll come over. I'm up.
Rob's like, well, I'm up anyway.
You've already said you will not be doing any babysitting.
My side biz. Oh, I'm not babysitting. I'll just I'll strip the sheets for you.
Oh, so Rob's maid service.
Yeah.
Nice. 4 a.m. Rob's like, might as well do some laundry. I'm up anyways. God, watching that is
I go out and putt sometimes.
Of course you do.
It's kind of cold, though.
Before daybreak?
Yeah. I got lights out there.
Stadium effect. Very nice.
Yeah.
It's like your own personal TGL out there.
Hey, it's TGL Tuesday.
Hey!
TGL,
let's go! Day 2 of the playoffs!
Yeah, it's a sneaky good sports day. We got opening day, technically. Mm-hmm. TGL. We got the first four. Mm-hmm. First four is on.
Yeah. Well, and a couple of them are decent. North Carolina, I'll pay attention to them. Plus, I kind of want North Carolina, San Diego State. I kind of want North Carolina now to make a run to like the Elite Eight.
Do the whole chip on their shoulder. No one believes in
it. Because I'm so tired of everyone bitching about North Carolina, and somehow now we care about 19-win West Virginia. Get out of here. I want North Carolina to win the whole damn thing.
By the way, West Virginia's coach reportedly getting hired by Indiana.
Yeah.
He's gone.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Just like the day after
the
governor's like, this is travesty.
Travesty.
Yeah,
guy's
gone. Like, yeah, it's a travesty, but I'm out of here.
You think he'll do another press conference and investigate how the coach thought he could leave?
Yeah, it's possible. Yeah. How'd they get our coach? Probably illegally. The national corrupt, what did he call it? The National
Corrupt Athletics Association, I think.
Yeah.
I did place my first bet of the tournament.
TGL?
Yeah, no. Yeah. I've yet to venture into TGL.
We're on Oberg's team tonight. We're on the Bay Club.
We're on the Bay Club, yeah.
Yeah. Go Bay Club.
No, I made my first NCAA bet. Because I'll mostly bet on when we're up at A&A.
Did you bet a game or a future?
I bet a future.
Okay. What do
we
got?
Bet a future.
What do we got?
I was digging through. I got plus 210.
Okay.
The Dukies.
Okay.
To make the finals. I'm debating whether or not, because I can get it like plus 370 to win the whole thing. I stumbled across something last night. You know, you do your little gambling nuggets, and I stumbled across a couple that were very, very interesting. Like Dave Bartu ones.
Yeah, he basically has them as, like, what, the top offense and defensive rated team?
Yeah, so in I went through, this was like according to the, someone went through the Ken Pom rankings. And basically, if you are going to win the NCAA championship,
right,
you have to be in the top 50 in offense and the top 50 in defense.
I think it's better than that.
I think it's top 50.
If you're going to win the tournament?
I thought it was like top 37 or something like that. But
it's
anyways.
Like, no one has ever been outside of that. But if you actually want the teams that have the best chance, then it is, it's top 50 in one and it's top 10 in another. No one has ever fallen out of that scope. Right. So they were going through and looking at the teams that fit that profile, right? So you want to be, you have to be good in both, but you have to be elite in one. And seven times a team has been top five in both offense and defense. Mm-hmm. Six of those have won a national championship. All seven have been to the finals. The Duke Blue Devils are the only team this year that fits the 5-5. And I know, I think we're getting some decent odds because Cooper Flagg, I'm betting that Cooper Flagg is going to play. So I went ahead and I laid a first, you know, I laid a couple shekels down on Dookie to make it. I think I might pull the trigger and double down and just say, hey, win the whole thing. But right now, I got him. Just
pull, wait. You're pulling the trigger or the triggle?
The triggle. I like the triggle.
I love that.
I might triggle.
Let's pull the triggle.
Yeah. It's insane. That's my first, I made my first NCAA bet today.
All right.
I love the 2012-5. Now it feels like the tournament is here once I start gambling on it. So I don't like filling
now
out
now you
got to
root for Duke, though.
I know.
I'm not happy about that.
That's right. You can like money more than you can hate another team.
That's
that
fair.
You're unaffiliated with.
I'm sorry, fair. But seven teams have fit this profile since they started tracking this like 30 years ago, and all seven have made the finals?
Well, it's obvious Flagg's going to play. The question in everyone's mind is, will he be less effective than he was in the regular season? Yeah. If he is, then maybe those rankings aren't as representative of what they are if he's limited, but if he's full go,
they're still pretty damn good.
Why are you going there?
I can talk you off of that in two ways, and I'm not trying to talk you off of that at all.
Talk to me.
But there would be two things I would say. The obvious is Flagg's health. That's a big question mark.
Sure.
But also, you know, the other area, the road you could go down there is the ACC sucked.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps they're overinflated because of that. Because in the non-con, Kansas beat them.
Hmm. That was before Kansas decided to suck, though.
Yeah, but Kansas beat them.
Again, seven teams have ever done top five.
I'm not trying to talk you off the bat.
Six won the title.
I'm just thinking through it. I'm like, you know, Duke's
they all
awesome.
Suck balls.
But that ACC,
I don't know.
And plus, I want to root against Duke.
Sure.
I will root for Carolina tonight.
This was the actual number. So 88%. I love it. When I find stuff like this, that it's overwhelming. Dude, ignore it at your own peril. 88% of all Final Four teams.
I'm going to write that down.
Right here.
So ignore it at your own peril. Big Sook.
That's right.
On Duke. To the finals.
Well, and here's the other one. So this is Ken Pom's pre-tournament data, right? 88% of all Final Four teams were top 50 in both offense and defense.
Take that for data.
I mean, that's not a small number. 88% of every Final Four team, that's a little like,
that's
whoa.
That's a trend. It's a trend worth betting.
So by the way, teams that people like that don't fit into that. St. John's, Kentucky, Purdue, Missouri, BYU. Mm. All highly ranked teams that do not fit the top 50 criteria. What was the other one? When choosing the Final Four teams, they want teams that are balanced but also elite. 69 of 88 Final Four teams, 78%, were teams that were top 10 in offense or defense and still top 50 in the other. Teams that fit that criteria, Auburn, Michigan State, Iowa State, A&M, Duke, Bama, Wisconsin, Houston, Tennessee, Gonzaga, Clemson is another one, and then Florida, Texas, Maryland. Those are the teams that should overwhelmingly, according to this metric, be your Final Four teams. If you're picking outside of that, you're looking for the outlier of outliers. And only one, the Dukies, are the top five.
Well, you're on record. Right here at the top of my notes, it says, ignore it at your own peril.
Boom.
And that's in quotes.
Yes.
Sook on the stats regarding Duke to the finals. So we will hold you to that. But I would say this. You know, anytime you place a sports bet, they should all be placed with the confidence that you have for that bet.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
Because if you do that, like, you can live with the results, right? Like, yeah. if you have 50 bets.
You believed in that handicap.
Yes, you believed in it.
You're
that's
like,
right.
I would still make that bet that's again, right. even though the result was wrong.
If you just stay in that lane, this is a great sports betting tip. If you just stay in that lane, you're going to be fine. You're going to win some and you're going to lose some. As long as you bet size correctly and don't go crazy over one or the other. Oh, I love this. So I'm going to bet my whole bankroll on it. Don't ever do that. They're all bets are the same. You could win them. You could lose them. But if you're that confident, do that for every bet. And if you're not that confident, throw the bet out. You don't have to bet it. Wait to bet another day.
The worst thing you can do is say, I really want to bet this game. I just don't know which side.
Yeah, that screams to you to not bet.
Yeah.
But when I look at something over 22 years, and you're talking about an 88%, so we had 78 and 88%. When you're talking about trends over a 22-year period, why you would pick a fine, like if you're filling out your bracket or you're betting futures for Final Four, why you would pick against a trend like that is beyond me. Like if you're doing that, you either have to be the greatest basketball mind of all time and you have watched so much ball that you're like, no, this team, even though the numbers don't back it up, this is the Dave Bartu thing. Like, you're always looking for an angle. And so as I'm going through trying to make my bets, I came across that last night and I'm sitting there and I'm like, again, those are, it's one thing if you're like, hey, 60% of teams or 50, 55%, but you get into almost a 90% clip, or in the case of the Duke one, all seven teams that have done this have all made the final, six of them have won an NCAA championship. I'm not going to be the one that goes, well, I know better than this. I'm like, all right, well here's $100 and let's see what happens.
Here's the thing. Nobody's betting against that. I would imagine Duke has by far the most tickets to win it.
Yeah, I would think
and
so,
I
yeah.
would think that the odds makers are all rooting against Duke.
Yeah.
Now, here's one place that you might not is in your bracket pool. Because basically, if everyone's picking Duke, and I think they have 25% of the championship picks, like nationwide, then not only does Duke have to win, but you have to beat everybody else in all the other games. So bet on Duke at your own peril in the pools, because what you might need, or what might be easier, is having one team knock them off than having you get Duke right, but then having to get all the other 16 Sweet 16 teams right.
Based on that, and I was thinking about this today, because you and I don't really fill out brackets anymore.
No.
But we do like to bet. Do you think that with legalized sports betting now pretty much nationwide, the bracket is kind of secondary to people placing wagers like the ones you're talking about?
It certainly is for me.
It kind of feels like that.
Because I feel like if I'm filling out a bracket, I feel like I'm just shooting ducks. And I'm just spraying bullets and hoping that I catch a few.
No, this is a binary thing. It's you win, you lose. It's me versus the book. It's not me versus 20 other people.
Right.
So,
right.
I just like that. I think I can find better trends. And I will say that occasionally, you know, you find like, all right, I like this Penn State team, and you find some stuff, and I'm like, I would rather take my chance that Penn State gets to the Sweet 16 and I can make some money off of it.
Hey, do you want a newsflash?
Yeah.
They're not in the tournament.
Well, I know. I was talking.
Well, I just, you know.
Well, was it, just it was in last case. Year or the year before I bet on Penn State, and Penn State ended up.
Caitlin Clark is white.
Giving me the scroogey.
Yeah.
That was the top of my mind, because that was a team that I got talked into. It was either last year or the year before.
You're tailing.
Yeah, I got tailed into it. And I had them go into the Sweet 16, and they got bounced in the first round. But that's my thing, is I would rather have that and place a little small wager on that. And if they get to the Sweet 16, I've won something. Whereas if I'm in a bracket and I like Penn State to get to the Sweet 16, and they get there, it really doesn't mean anything for my bracket. It actually is quite meaningless.
Makes you feel good, though.
Exactly. Makes you feel good.
Then you got to go tell your buddies you picked it.
I just want to win money.
And as far as that's concerned, if you have a Duke ticket or Duke future, there are going to be opportunities to make money along the way. You can bet the other team with points and still win that bet and win Duke advancing, or you can get a big odds on a money line upset against them. So there's ways to buy out of that.
Legalized gambling, which I've been doing illegally for a while, I still bet most of my stuff offshore because I'm in the state of Washington, and we don't have, you know, we can't bet the Oregon lottery. We're geofence. So I still do most of my betting offshore, but it really has kind of, it's killed the bracket for me. You and me, I can't tell you the last time I filled out a bracket and actually bet on something.
Yeah, I just stopped watching college ball so much, but now that I can bet it, I'm back in.
Yeah.
And I still don't really care about filling out a bracket. I care more about the bets.
Yeah.
you know?
Well, the whole point of the bracket is to make money, and I feel like this is a much better way to make money than...
Yeah.
But it's also kind of like a traditionally social thing. It's you and a group of friends and your office pool. But I'm telling you,
when the office pool died...
Yeah. Well, then there's no interest.
We all died.
Then we all died with it.
We all died.
Yeah.
We're all dead.
Yeah. Every now and then I'll get a buddy that's like, hey, do you want to play in this? And I'm like, eh, no, I'm all right.
Take that L on the way out.
Like, what's it, $20 to join a pool or whatever? I'd rather take the $20 and put it on Duke. Or $20
or a million other fun futures that you could bet.
Yeah, something like that.
All right. Well.
And yes, it does pain me that I have to root for Duke, but officially.
Here you are.
Dude, go Dukies. I got money on the line.
We have opening day-ish thoughts coming up. And I just had a few thoughts from the game I'd like to share with you, if I could.
While you were up at 4 a.m. for no reason.
I was. And yes.
Did you have like a sore lower back? You're like, had to get up and water some plants, maybe?
Yeah, I told you what I did.
I'm hurt.
Is watering plants what you call gardening? Or did
no,
you garden?
You
did
have
you put like a trowel in dirt and do
you don't
like
have
that?
To water right now, Buck. I don't know if you know this, but it's rained a lot.
Well, I don't know.
You know?
We don't know what you're doing, what the olds are doing. You can come join my neighborhood.
You might have plants that are covered and don't get the rain.
Cover plants. I did see a neighbor cover his plants the other day. I was like, yeah, that's a little much.
If you go outside in my neighborhood at 4:30 in the morning, there's plenty of lights on. Trust me. The Fairway Village neighborhood is a buzz at 4:30 in the morning.
All right. We'll get to a few opening day-ish thoughts, and then we have delicious tournament stuffing coming up on The Fan. What a sports day. Man, TGL, first four.
I love how you started out with TGL.
Yeah, put the good stuff first.
Yeah, right there.
We also have the Japan series.
Yeah.
Dodgers,
I think
Cubs.
It's the Tokyo series, but...
Oh, I think it was... Really?
Yeah.
I thought they called it the Japan series.
I don't think so.
Because they wanted to include all of Japan, not just Tokyo.
Pretty sure it is the Tokyo series, but...
Maybe we have some NBA games that no stars are going to play in tonight.
Yeah, Steph Curry's sitting out for the Warriors against the Bucks.
Great.
I would like to appreciate... Can we take a brief moment that the Blazers' last two victories over Toronto and Washington, both Toronto and Washington polled their leading scorers in the third quarter of both of those games. While those games were competitive, they actively, guys that had 20 points a game, they were like, no, sit down. Jordan Poole did not play basically in the second half. And then I think Sarr went out with like 4 minutes to go in the third quarter. They're like, you sit your ass down right there.
Yeah, Jordan Poole hit a game winner against Denver in Denver. And they're like, not letting that happen again. Nope.
Second half, sit down. Hey, Sarr, you having a nice game. About five and some change.
Well,
sit down.
The other thing is now the league is investigating teams that are holding. Like we saw the other night against the Blazers. We talked all about that Oklahoma City Thunder lineup when they didn't have anybody. Yeah. The league's investigating them now about whether they actually had injuries worth sitting. So I now think coaches, they're like, fine, I'll play my stars, but I'll pull them when it counts. I mean, which is worse?
I forget who it was in Toronto, but like that was a back and forth game. And
yeah,
the leading scorer in Toronto, he had like 22, 23 that night. I forget who it was. But we were watching the game out at the bar, and someone pointed it out, and I kind of looked up, and I was like, oh, yeah. What? Yeah, Toronto just was the fourth quarter. We're like, no. We're not doing this. Because I think Philly had lost that game, too, that day, and Toronto was chasing them in the tank off. I just like that the Blazers are just gobbling up these wins while other teams are like, yeah, we're out of this.
Well, are we surprised that they're doing this? I mean.
No, it's just. It's.
I mean, they should be doing that. They don't want to win.
No, it's just odd that Portland's like the one team that's like, no. They're fighting for their play-in live. I would also like to point out real quick, on the off chance that they make, because I think they're three back of the play-in, on the off chance they make the play-in, and then on the off chance that somehow they manage to win the play-in, their reward for getting swept by Oklahoma City is they don't get their first-round pick. You want to talk about just for no reason kicking yourself square in the nuts in the middle of this awful rebuild that just seems to be dragging on and on and on, the idea that you're fighting for the right to not get your first round pick. Someone please explain that to me. I digress. To your, and by the way, it is the Tokyo series.
Yeah, I just looked at that.
Yeah.
My apologies to all of Japan.
Thank you.
Screw Japan.
Take that for data.
It's about you, Tokyo.
The BTJ appreciates on behalf of the Japanese
people. I've got a lot of hot Japanese takes today. One is there's a lot to love about Japanese baseball.
Love it.
But the stadiums and the turf, or maybe it's just this one, that's not one of them.
Okay, well.
Is it only in Tokyo that they're like this?
There are some. So the Hanshin Tigers, who are the ones that beat the Cubs and the Dodgers, they're like the Chicago Cubs of the Nippon League, and their stadium is amazing. It's like an actual
so old like school. An MLB outdoor nooks and crannies cool vibe.
Yes, but some of the places,
this one was not
the I've played in the Tokyo Dome.
Yeah, you have,
and I've seen baseball in the Tokyo Dome. Yes, it's very stable or like sterile. Where the Chunichi Dragons, same thing. Some of those stadiums were built in the height of like. Not like anything that was built in the 80s, like they wanted to make it futuristic, but they just made it look crappy.
It's kind of like the Trop.
Yes. It's like that.
Tropicana.
Think like the King Dome.
The old Astrodome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
At the height of it, you're like, oh my God, this is futuristic. And then you look at it now, you're like, it sucks. But there is some good stadiums. It's a mix.
I would also like to state, and I think you would appreciate this, mm-hmm. since your beloved is Japanese.
Yeah.
Big time Japanese, actually. Yeah. Which may mean that her father is one of these, but if you didn't see the game, behind home plate, the fans, there is something about old Japanese guys in suits
mm-hmm.
that's really kick-ass. Yeah. Like, they're super serious
mm-hmm.
and restrained, yet commanding. And there were several of them at this game, and they don't react to the game.
No.
They simply sit with great posture and stare at the field, and that's really it?
Yes.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know who these men are. I assume they're billionaire Japanese. Like in my head, I'm just like, oh my God, these men, they're probably like Japanese finest. I don't know. But they were great.
Yeah.
And I couldn't take my eyes off
so,
them. And they usually had hots on their side.
Yeah. Interesting note, BTJ D, big time Japanese dad, comes into town next week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's making the visit.
Maybe I could ask him about this.
You could. And I will tell you this. The next time that I see Mamoru smile will be the first. If you think...
Oh, he's a serious man, is he?
Yeah.
The Japanese businessman is very serious.
Yeah.
He doesn't have time for your foolishness.
Did you watch the game in the morning? If you get a chance, if you're up early enough, look behind home plate at those dudes in suits.
They got things to do. That's...
They are not going to utter a smile.
No.
Nor a clap.
No.
But... They're watching.
Yes.
And boy, do they look intent.
We went to a sumo event with the BTJD, big time Japanese dad. And I kept waiting to see if I could, because it was a cool event. I kept waiting to see if I could get a reaction. No reaction.
No, they're not.
The man is stone faced.
Yeah.
He's not tipping his hand.
Playing in your reindeer games.
No.
And that's what I love about him.
Yes.
That's a dude you want to sit down and have a sake with.
It's just very straight laced. Are we making money? Is this about
stoic
business? If not,
that's right.
Leave me alone.
And then occasionally they're at the strip club with a cigarette and
you got to figure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're at the casino.
Yeah. It's not a lot of
the Japanese are great.
Yes. That's what the mother's for. The father is not there to give you love and
he's bringing home the bacon.
Exactly.
With his brains.
He's got serious things to do.
Did you see, you probably didn't, the crowd when Ohtani came to the plate?
Oh, I'm guessing they just lost their mind.
No, they went silent.
Oh, the respect of the quiet?
Silent.
Yeah.
It was very weird.
Yeah.
And they asked Ohtani about it after the game. He was like, yeah, I wasn't. Of course, Ohtani's very buttoned up. He doesn't really say.
Scored what, two runs,
anything.
Right?
He had a couple hits.
Yeah. 2 for 5, a double, and 2 runs.
Yeah. This was the at-bat. I actually saw him get a hit. He doubled in the 8th or whenever there was. Maybe it was the 9th. But yeah, they go silent. It was weird sitting there watching. Like they're all, it's like they all become old Japanese men.
They do well. The hush falls over the crowd. I will tell you that I have never seen in my life a more reverence for an individual from a group of people than they have for Ohtani. I mean, it's...
Yeah, they were going through all the players.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like... It's crazy to think that Hideo Nomo was the first Japanese player to play in the big leagues.
Was he the first?
He was the first.
I can't say I knew that.
And... Oh, yeah, that was a big deal at the time, and that was in the 90s. Like, it has been 30 years, and they went through a lot of the names, and boy, there are a lot of names lost in, like, the guys just didn't play, or they just weren't household names here that came over and played, but they were huge stars in Japan, and I can't remember their names, but we all know the main ones, like Nomo, Ichiro, Ohtani, and probably Darvish
go
on the Mount
Darvish
Rushmore.
Darvish was good, Hideki Matsu,
Matsui. He was good.
You know, for the Yankees was a big deal.
Daisuke. Matsuzaka.
The Giants had Tsuyoshi Shinjo for a while. He was the thing. Yeah.
They got a guy. The Giants have an outfielder who's a Japanese player.
He's Korean, I believe.
Oh, he's Korean.
Yeah, okay. That's...
I would say Ichiro has been by far, though, the biggest.
Well, that's what I said. I said Nomo, Ichiro, Otani, and Darvish are probably your top four.
I would think so.
But Darvish said that when he grew up, I thought it was really cool. What they're doing in Tokyo, make no mistake, you may not care and you may not see a lick of it. This is a huge deal for baseball.
Yes.
And it's a huge deal in Japan because not only is Otani playing, but so is Yamamoto, Roki Sasaka. Roki Sasaka just signed with the Dodgers, so this will be his first year in the big leagues. He's a superstar in Japan. Yep. His first start will be tomorrow for the Dodgers in Japan.
Yes. And it is
it's going to be a big deal.
Event. Well, today was two Japanese.
Imanaga, is that his name?
Yeah, Shota Imanaga. The Cubs. And then Yoshinobu Yamamoto got the win today.
Yeah, Yamamoto. And then it's just,
And more and more of coming over. Sengai is the number one pitcher for the Mets.
Yeah. Well, that's what Darvish was saying. They said that Darvish said when he grew up in Japan, and Darvish is, he's still in the league, but he's in his 30s now. Yeah. When he grew up in Japan, playing in the U.S. was not attainable. Mm. It is not something kids dreamed about because you couldn't do it.
Yeah.
He said now, every kid that grows up in Japan dreams of playing in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
It's no longer playing ball in Japan. It's you got to be a name in the States.
Yeah.
And that, I don't think you can quantify how big that is
for
Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Like, this is a huge deal.
And by the way, the Japanese League, it's coming. Like, I mean... Outside of obviously the U.S., the Latin countries have been the predominant international force, and that goes all the way back. You know, plenty of those guys from Roberto Clemente on, but you know, the Venezuelan, the Dominican Republic, and all that. But dude, the Japanese leagues, this will be a Japanese invasion, and you're right. More and more of them are coming up with the idea of we can do this, and it's not just pitchers anymore. You're getting position players as well. And this is only going to continue and grow because over there, this is the national sport. I mean, they take this very seriously. And again, to the point of one of their teams just got done beating the Cubs and Dodgers. And both of those managers were like, I'm telling you, this is high quality baseball over there. That is not just a second rate group of guys.
Yeah, no, they're good. But I don't know what it's going to mean for their league.
All their stars are now
going to bolt over here.
Well, I remember when we went over, their big player was Centro Fujiyama, who was like their big pitcher, and he came over and was an absolute bust. A's, Orioles, Mets, and I think he's now a minor league guy with the Mariners.
Yeah.
But he was a huge deal over there.
Yeah, he was terrible here.
And he was terrible.
I mean, you can see it kind of following the path of like basketball in Europe, though, right? Where like it still remains a very big deal over there, but now it's there that they get recognized before they come over. Like the Lucas and the Pau Gasols and the players like that who got established playing in Europe and then made the jump.
But the fame, but more importantly, the money is just so big. It will continue to lure over the biggest guys. I mean, you look at
Kikuchi.
Yeah.
He's another one.
When you look at
Yoshida,
the amount of money that can be made over here, you're going to get the best guys. Period. End of story.
You got we forgot Tanaka. He was pretty good.
Oh yeah.
Remember him?
I do remember him.
Shigetoshi Hasegawa of your Mariners.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Of course we had
Hideki Irabu.
Monkey never
cries. Irabu, yeah, he was a hoss.
Yeah, he was a hoss. Masato Yoshi. Kazuhiro Sasaki. Mm-hmm.
More and more. It's funny when you read through the names. It's more than
it's a ton.
It's more than you remember.
Kaz Matsui played for your Mets. I'm
trying to think of anyone else that I'm
Shinjo Takatsu
slipped through the cracks.
Tadahito Iguchi.
I don't remember him.
Kenji Jojima. Remember him?
I thought was it Jojima?
Jojima?
And then we, like, a year in, we're like, we've been saying it wrong.
Takashi Saito? Oh, Daisuke Matsuzaka?
Daisuke.
Yeah, you said him.
Yeah, we said him. Okay. Yeah.
Who was the closer for the Red Sox a number of years ago? Did we mention him? They had a really good Japanese closer.
Nori Aoki, former Royals great.
And Giants great.
Mets great as well. Played for all of our teams.
I wonder how many guys that applies to.
It bounced around a little bit.
All right. You want any more?
I think Buckley
are you good?
I think Buckley is.
We're good here.
We're a little late.
That was emphatic. Yeah. Well, anyway, it's kind of cool. If you get up this tomorrow morning, the game starts at 3. Mm-hmm. This morning it was over by 5:30 or 6. It was kind of boring, but
and if you ever get a chance,
it does count. These are
counselors.
Yeah, these are not spring training.
And then
games.
They come
these
back
are,
and play more spring training games.
These are counselors.
It's weird.
Yeah, but you kind of got to do it that way. So there you go. Baseball's back, bitch. How about that? Delicious tournament stuffing is next. Here's Bo.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
How could we forget the most beloved Japanese baseball player, Yumenori Kawasaki?
We did not. I said monkey never cramps.
Oh, you did? Okay. Yeah. I missed that. Yeah. We don't have his drops anymore.
We had to.
Well, you know.
That would be Munenori, right?
I thought it was
I think it starts with an M. I think it's Munenori.
I just know monkey never cramps.
Because they called him Moony.
I'm disrespecting the guy right and left.
Now he's eating two bananas.
Yeah, he was great. Anyway, got some hot First Four action going on right now.
I can't watch it right now. I got Big Red Wings hockey on. Sorry.
Yeah, and I got the TGL on. So,
so let's be honest.
Look, I don't care about this first game. The first one is St. Francis and
Alabama State for the right to get beat by Auburn in the first round. Yeah.
Okay, but so, the second one
I'll pay
more is
North
there.
Carolina and San Diego State.
Yep.
And I want to say within the last 3 years, both of those teams have been in the final of this tournament.
I think that's accurate, if not maybe the last 4 years, but yeah.
Yeah.
Because
San Diego State lost to UConn in that first one.
Yep. And then the year before, North Carolina lost to Kansas
in
the final.
So yeah.
So, and now they're both playing for the... I want North Carolina to make a deep run just so everyone will shut the F up.
Now, what is stronger, the everyone in the country hates you motivation for North Carolina or the no one's talking about you guys, no one cares about you guys for San Diego State? Which one's stronger for the motivation factor?
Good point.
That's good. I'm going to go with the North. I think North Carolina can use this as, hey, everybody's saying we shouldn't be in this tournament. We're going to kick some San Diego ass.
And by the way, we did look this up. Almost every year, one of these play-in 11 seeds ends up making a solid run. Two, by the way, have made Final Fours. And the year Syracuse was the last team in, they didn't do the play-in. They just were the last team in. They made a run to the Final Four. So, I mean, North Carolina hasn't won a lot of games. They're in a lot of games. It's just got to find a way to finish.
Well, and you got Texas's Xavier tomorrow.
Yeah. So I'll watch those.
Also, that's 11 seed.
That's 6:10 on True TV. But yeah. No offense to St. Francis, but I got Redlands hockey to watch.
And I got the TGL. Get out of here with that. But that's why they put North Carolina in the first four right there. It's like, we'll tune in for that.
Eyeballs.
Now, do you think it's a big story that North Carolina was late to Dayton? Did you see that?
Why were they late to Dayton?
Well, listen to this. So this is a thing that made the rounds as, I don't know. You know how that sometimes, and I think they do this in all walks of life, but just in our little sphere of sports, they try to make something that just is not a thing.
And they're like, oh, into a thing. Keep an eye on this.
Yeah, it's become a huge, well, it's just a headline today that North Carolina, their chartered flight was late, and the plane landed in Dayton at 6:30 p.m.
Oh, my God.
Sook, they were 2.5 hours behind their schedule.
Wow.
Which, by the way, welcome to travel.
Yeah, what? 2.5 hours.
Join the rest of us, why don't you?
So right. You're telling me that they landed at 6:30. They got, by the way, a police escort on the bus, probably by 7.
No, but you don't understand.
They were at the hotel by 7:30.
No, you don't understand.
I don't understand?
No. They landed at 6:29, actually.
Yeah.
Their practice was scheduled at 6:35.
Oh, my God. So they had to walk through.
They didn't even take the floor until 8:11 p.m.
So they were in bed by 11:30 and don't have to play tonight until 6 o'clock. Whatever will they do?
So the headline was basically that North Carolina was an hour and 45 minutes late to practice.
By the way.
And somehow that's an issue.
So North Carolina's favored by 4.5. I'm taking that right. Give me the
Oh, you're going heels.
Oh, no. They were
not anymore.
Oh, no. You're going Aztec.
Not after this.
Oh, you're going against them.
I'm going against them. There's no way they should be favorites after that monumental travel disaster.
Yeah, and then they interview, then they have to interview players about it. And the players are like, we just kind of
sat there and played Fortnite a little
longer. Yeah, that's what he said. We played games, and I think it really made us come together. We bonded.
It's the brotherhood now.
I had an extra ginger ale and, God. The amount of things that we do, we try to make into something, and I get it. We have the 24-hour news cycle. What was it? I think Norm MacDonald used to do that bit where he said, back in the day, the news was a half hour, and that's about as much news as you had. He had 30 minutes of news. Now that we have 24 hours of news, boy, we got to create some news because there's just not enough to fill the news cycle. So now this big two-hour delay, however
not
will they
that.
Overcome it?
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, they were 2.5 hours late,
but
only an hour and 45 late to practice. So they gained some time in there.
Can I also ask why, when you're making up time in the air, why don't we just go that fast in the first place?
Yeah, it's like they build it in so that they can use it to appease us later on.
Let's hear that
miffed.
Guy that's like, "Yeah, we're gonna make up some time."
Well, isn't that wind related?
Can you just make up that?
It does feel like every time you're late, they say that.
Yeah,
right.
I'm just saying, if you can get me there in 2 hours and 10 minutes instead of 2 hours and 40 minutes, just get me there in 2 hours and 10 minutes. Why do I have to be late for you to mash the gas?
Because I don't think they always can get you there in 2 hours and 10 minutes.
It sure seems like it.
Then why do they say anytime I'm late that they're going to make up time?
You have the best luck in the world.
Well, that's a good question for a pilot. Can you always make up time?
I don't know.
Or can you only make up time when the jet stream is right? Freaking punch it, bitch! Do you literally just punch it?
Every time I'm on a plane and they tell me they're going to make up time, that's the first question I ask myself is, why?
So we've got some tournament props and other delicious tournament stuffing continuing next on The Fan.
You're an idiot. Rocky is an idiot.
So I have our query out to two pilot friends. We'll see what they say. Perhaps they're in the air and can't text. Or maybe they fly and text.
What else are they doing up there?
Right.
I mean, they put that thing on autopilot, and then they're only there in case of some sort of an emergency.
Why are you going there?
Yeah. They're busy
That's
making...
That's another good question.
They're making some time with a floozy flight attendant right now. The least they can do is text us back.
Can pilots sending texts from once on autopilot? Are they... can they do that?
Why wouldn't they? You got Wi-Fi on the plane now.
I guess the same reason
you're
not supposed to text while you're driving.
Well...
I mean, you know, regulations and such.
Autopilot.
Well, I know. I'm saying, like, once they put it on autopilot, can they just, like, pull out their laptop and start watching Severance?
I would think so. Did you see that cop that ended up killing the person because they were watching TV?
No.
Yeah, there was a cop that ran over someone. And, you know, they got the cops got the little laptop. You seen that in cop cars?
Well, yeah, I've always, you know, you've done a ride along.
Yeah.
You see how much stuff that they have on that screen? Yeah. You're like, well, this is a hazard.
Well, it turns out you can, like, watch stuff. So my man was, like, watching a TV show, and you can tell what he was doing, and he ran someone over. So
I'm
like,
surprised that hasn't happened before. Not necessarily with, like, watching something on TV, but just playing with that screen.
Yeah.
They got all kinds of stuff on there.
I don't know what exactly
they're always hitting the little thing.
And I don't think they've like it's like been adjudicated yet, but I'm guessing that someone's in some trouble. It's one thing if you're doing police work, but you can't be watching like SpongeBob SquarePants like replays while you're driving around and then mow someone down and be like, whoops, my bad.
You do it anymore, you're going to have problems.
I'm guessing that's pilots. I'm guessing pilots know when they can and can't play Candy Crush.
Do you think they sneak their phone into the bathroom? You know, you ever see the pilot go into the bathroom?
Yeah.
You're always watching to see if they're taking a deuce.
I'll say right now.
You are. You're always watching to see if that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
You
are. I wait. And see. I like
wonder
to see
if it's a number two.
Yeah, if he's in there duking it out.
Wonder what he ate.
I am a 100% phone and the toilet guy. Like, what are we doing?
You think he sneaks his phone in there?
I think that's the one toilet you don't bring your phone into.
Yeah, because it's so gross.
Yeah, I'm not. I will go grab my phone, even if I'm not on it, to take it upstairs to use the bathroom.
Right.
But where I'm not pulling it out is...
How's a guy supposed to use the toilet without his phone?
Exactly. I'm not going into... If I have to use the airplane bathroom...
For number two?
Well, one, that is a full-on emergency, and my phone is not coming out. That's battle conditions. That might be the one situation where my phone is not... Like, you can't... Same thing if you're at a dive bar. You don't take your phone into the bathroom, and that's going to be a leisurely 15-minute hangout. That is in-out precision strike leave. So I'm saying no pilot breaks out the phone in the bathroom. He's going to get in there, get his business done, get back behind the door, and then he's texting nudes to the hots.
Yeah. Okay, well, we've got we're going to do some tournament stuff coming up next. I've got some proposition bets mm-hmm. that are out there, and you know, some oddities. Oh, and I got to tell you, the trendy upset guy. He's the trendy upset guy. Like, he's a guy who picks the trendy upsets every year. He's got a great record at it. He's like this.
Like Buckley picking first round leaders in golf tournaments.
Yeah, like that.
He's like this guru. But apparently he watches no basketball,
mm-hmm.
but he picks like 70% upsets every year.
He's used in analytics, right?
He has two.
All right, talk to me.
Is his name Dave Bartu?
So the trendy upset guy is picking trendy upsets, mm-hmm. and we'll tell you what two upsets those are next hour on The Fan.